Two.
Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. On today's show, Greg, I'm Michael Colligan. That's Greg Eric. For those listening, we don't say who we are enough. That's apparently a complaint. So Michael Colligan here. And I'm going to read Omar A. Rivera's biography. He is an industry-leading product development professional with more than 30 years of experience working with Osram Sylvania, General Electric, and Orion Energy Systems. We never heard of those guys. All of those. Never heard of those Osram guys or anything. He's been around the industry. He has expertise in advanced energy-efficient lighting systems, where he led a product development team to launch the most efficient industrial light fixture in the world in 2017. This record-breaking efficacy still stands today. Omar has authored numerous articles and white papers on energy efficiency that have been published in various magazines and blogs. He is also an expert in the application of the Internet of Things. We're going to talk a lot about that on the show today. He was an early adopter of this technology and led the effort to integrate advanced sensor technology into lighting systems. These sensors collect data to help organizations run more efficiently, save energy, and increase asset security. Omar served in the United States Air Force with distinction for 13 years. He has a bachelor's in business administration from California Coast University, MIT Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Sloan School of Business Executive Programs. Yeah, we're going to throw up his LinkedIn on the getagriponlighting.com website, folks. And he is the author of a book, IoT in Non-Technical Language, by Omar A. Rivera. Before we get to that conversation, though, Greg, we got to lock it up. We got to lock it down. We got to grip lock it on Get a Grip on Lighting. That's gripblocksystems.com, GRIPLOCKSYSTEMS.com.
Yeah, that's right, man. Griplock is a leader in cable suspension systems for over 30 years. They have their own on-site engineers making their product to hang light fixtures. A lot of times you need to hang them. Don't hang them with chain. Save labor. You can easily do it with the Griplock and their own tool-free adjustability. Move it a fixture up and down wherever you want. No more chain. You got to use
Jack Griplock. Chain is for losers. Go to gripblocksystem.com. That's GRIPLOCKS. YSTEMS.com. And of course, Greg, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. That's right. You got what? Light bar. We're going to make it real easy for you guys. You want to be a member of Nailed? I know you all want to be members. I get it. We get lots of applications from people. You have to have light bulbs in a warehouse to be a member of Nailed. That's the deal. If you don't have light bulbs in a warehouse, you can't be a member of Nailed. So if you got them in a warehouse, go to NAALD.org. Omar, welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
Hey, Michael. Great. Thanks for having me here. I've been looking forward to talking to you about these various subjects.
Yeah. So I know we're going to get into the book, but I do, as a lighting dork, have to say that the record-breaking efficacy that still stands. What was it or what is it? Give us that.
It's 214 lumens per watt in a high bay. And that's been standing for a while. I think the industry kind of still there as far as the LED producers, the chips they're producing. Doesn't allow for anything more, and actually people are hung around 180, 190 right now, so the 214 stands.
Is it 214, and that's deliverable lumens?
That's deliverable lumens, and that includes out of the fixture. So that's in the, that's the AUL file, IS file level.
Why doesn't everybody have that?
I think it's the market, you know, the willingness to pay for it, the people that want it have a long-term view on it's sure. It's about the less maintenance and higher ROI, more efficiency long-term. So I think it will get there eventually where everybody move there, but the actual LED producers are not producing higher efficacy chips. And so until there's more demand. So it's kind of a catch 22 here.
It's a bigger issue with lighting in general is everybody's trying to go cheap. When we can get there, we can get 214. We should all be doing it. It's a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there is pressure on the lower side recently, cost over efficiency. So I think as an industry, we'd have to make a larger push to get to those levels. I definitely thought by now would be efficacy levels would be at 220, 230 fixture level, but we haven't got there yet.
What do you think the max is? Is there ever going to be a max?
Yeah, there is some, we probably have to move to some different materials on the higher side of 230. There is some prototypes out there we've seen and talked about There might be some other developments, but right now nobody's asking. The demand's not there, so it's kind of the chicken or the egg in regards to, you know, the big chip makers investing more and bringing that product to market. So it's kind of the industry needs to ask for it versus and the customers ask for it to us to get there. So
Okay, all right, well, maybe we'll get there, but let's shift gears to your book here. So you're telling me that not everybody knows what a LLC is. Is that right? I don't even know.
That's correct. Yeah, well, you know, being in the retrofit market, we actually included that in 2015 as our go-to market, because when you're hanging fixtures and you want to get in and out, you want to put in sensor in each fixture. That's efficacy for labor. But also for if you want to do a heat map or if you want to do asset tracking, having a sensor per fixture is the only way you can do it. And part of the reason the book is because lighting is the natural grid, right? You have a fixture every 10 feet in every direction. So you put a sensor in each fixture, then you can automatically measure somebody walking from the door to any location in the building. And so lighting industry is perfectly positioned to be owning a big portion of the IoT, but we haven't got there yet. I think we're still, I would say the majority are buying off dim, grouping and remote management, and not so much on the IoT side.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting is I was just at two examples I'll give you today. One office customer called and said, hey, we have we're doing a control system where it's just on-off sensors, right? And it's zoned all together. One power pack controls 20 fixtures, whatever. And he's like, can we dim just these two fixtures over this office? I'm like, nah, with the system you have now, you know, you'd have to go to the individual control LLC. And then I was at a school where they did do the LLC. And I don't know, is that three L's? I think I did it right. So they had them on every fixture. And then the maintenance guy to me is like, so when one of these sensors goes out in that fixture, that's going to be an issue for that fixture, right? Like, yeah. You know, and so there's two ways to look at it. Like, yeah, it's great, all the capabilities it has, but then you also have the complexity down the road and the potentially additional maintenance of having to buy a sensor for all 30 fixtures instead of for one. I know that's a lot of different angles I'm giving you at once, but that's kind of where I see some.
Why don't you be a professional and ask him one question at a time, Greg Eric? Come on.
This happened today, and I was like, what great timing. Two things right at once. Hit them both.
Well, you hit it out of the park here, Roma. What's going on down there?
So what's going on is that, you know, we need to start thinking beyond lighting and what the value of the light fixture position in a building can bring to an owner. For example, if you have a large building and you have the decision to, and everybody's complaining about space, if you had an IoT system, you can measure and count people. You can actually do heat mapping and decide if it's true that it's crowded or is everybody gathering in certain places like the hallways, the water fountain, the lunchroom. Instead of, you know, so it's a very cheap proposition to put IoT if you're comparing to buying new space, right? It's millions of dollars to buy new space. If you're a retailer and you want to find out why people are hanging on aisle one, aisle two, you know, what's selling, what's moving, those are very important information to have that's way beyond ROI and energy efficiency. So IoT delivers a lot more. The reason for the book is I don't think people understand the position the light industry is in. And we would, how we can be part of what we can talk later down the road here on digital transformation, but we could be a big part of enabling digital transformation because we are the data point centers. So you can't do digital transformation without the data. And so having the smart sensor, the IoT sensor, the advanced sensor in there is about collecting data and being able to analyze that data and produce trends that can improve your business and your bottom line. So it's got a long answer, but that's kind of the reason we should move forward for advanced sensors.
So you're obviously a colleague of Tony Lawrence. We talked about it earlier on the show. And the man, the myth, the legend. That's all I'll say. I love that guy. Love talking to him. He's a visionary, but also working in the real world at the same time, which is rare, by the way. He's doing both. He talks about Li-Fi a lot and the capabilities that the Li-Fi is going to bring along with quantum computers, that the actual signals that you know, that are coming down will be smart signals. So they will also recognize you, the signals themselves. What kind of sensor capability do we have right now? So that's not right. Maybe that's ready, but it's expensive and it, you know, you kind of have to, it's not commoditized yet. What do we have at the basic fixture level in terms of sensors? What can they do? We know, I know passive infrared turns them off and on. I know ultrasonic can, you know, do send certain messages. There's microphonic. What else are you building into these sensors? And let's keep it in non-technical language so everyone can understand.
Yeah. So the sensors that we have today in the lighting industry, and we can probably talk, I'll talk a little bit about what's outside the lighting industry as well, which is important. And why I write the book is I want to make sure people understand that, you know, we may be a little behind in the lighting industry. You know, I'll get to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But the current advanced sensors can track people with Bluetooth technology. So as I mentioned, if you have a sensor every 10 feet or in a warehouse every 20, 30 feet, you can track a forklift. And you can, okay, this is going all the way to the back of the warehouse more than it's going to the front of the warehouse. Why is that? Oh, they put the most popular product in the back of the warehouse. Mm-hmm. So they're spending 2 minutes a day. So multiply those minutes times a month or a year. So they're spending a lot of time. They can ship out more product. So the data that you collect and analyze through these advanced sensors and asset tracking is huge. Heat mapping, again, finding out where are people located during the day, what part of the day, why is it crowded in certain areas, can provide vital information on the retail side if you want to sell more products. It can do wayfinding. For example, you can follow customers opt-in to their popular app. When they walk them the phone, you can chase them around the store and say, hey, just stop in front of the shoes. You can send them an ad. Hey, the shoes are on sale. You know that you're looking at them. The things that for lighting can bring more than energy efficiency, which I think we are accomplishing that very well. But lighting is uniquely positioned to deliver all these other things that intelligent sensors can provide. Now, I just attended various lighting shows, but I also go to CES. I also go to IoT conferences. And people are using LoRaWAN. Okay, so city gateways need 300 feet maximum distance. They actually recommend 100. LoRa can do 16,000 feet between gateways. And so, you know, in a commercial industrial space, you don't need to put 100 gateways, you can put 2 or 3. So there's a lot of technology that we're not bringing to the lighting industry that we could apply. And there's something probably you haven't heard of is called private network. So you can actually buy a SIM card that you have in your cell phone, plug it into your sensor, plug it into your gateway, and have a global network that you own privately through cellular. So those technologies are already readily available and being used currently by many industries. And so I think that we need lighting industry to keep our eye open to see how we can bring those technologies to our industry and also gain from those sales and solutions.
The lighting industry, and just while I ask you this question, just turn off any other instances you have open on your computer other than this, because there's a little bit of internet interference that's been popping up, Omar. So if you just have your email open or shut it off. You know, when I think about the lighting industry, number one, the lighting industry is critical infrastructure, okay? But it's not treated as such by the lighting industry, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
You know, in the past, before the dawning of the LED era, you know, manufacturers were very careful to design and plan product cycles with cross-manufacturer components. I mean, all of your former employers would sit down and say, we're going to make a 150-watt LU150 HPS, medium base, this size, this shape, this filament, this wattage goes with this ballast, and we're going to compete over the making of that standard or this standard. I don't know if it was the IES or NEMA or whoever came up with these plans. We need to bring back that kind of planning into the lighting industry if we even want to think about being a leader in this IoT space. And I'm talking about we're the executive producers of the Lighting Controls podcast. We need a common protocol language for lighting controls. Like right now, this manufacturer-specific systems and all this kind of stuff, we need one protocols that everybody builds to, like... what's that, the Red Hat open source Ubuntu that everyone can contribute to, the software is strong. But we're so far away from the lighting industry in any continent, whether it's Europe or America, agreeing on a protocol, agreeing on mechanical form factors for various light fixtures. So these things can be repaired and maintained on an ongoing basis and deliver all the stuff that you guys are dreaming about. Why can't the lighting industry get together and make this happen? Everyone's going to get rich, Omar, but everyone's off on their own silo trying to be a software developer when really we should sit down and say, this is the software we're all going to use. Let's go. We're not software developers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that we are focused on lighting and secondary to anything else outside the industry. And that's because we're traditionally old industry, you know, Thomas Edison here, 100 and something years. And so we have our ways. And I think that we need to open up to other industries. There was talk about it about 10 years ago. I remember going to several IES events, NEMA events. So let's bring other industries that other industry speakers come in. But I haven't seen that recently as much. And I think we're taking for granted the position we hold right now. And I think the window's closing. You know, a light and build, for example, I went there, they had a whole building for building automation and had a whole building for security. So I think in general, some people are starting to realize that lighting is going to be a platform for other technologies and eventually put these other technologies in it. I don't think everybody, I would say a small percentage are thinking like that. I did see some polls that were light poles that had Wi-Fi, and they had EV connection. They had cameras in it. So some industry leaders are starting to bring other technologies to remain honestly relevant. If the industry waits too long, then others in other industries like security, other things may bring lighting to security, like Ring. You're seeing in Amazon for personal use, they're bringing security lights, and because we haven't developed those technologies, so. That's the reason for the book. I think I just want more people that understand the technology, understand the value and the power of it. And one of the obstacles is that when I spoke to people, I was speaking in technical language and they wouldn't understand. So I introduced it to non-technical language. Hopefully that will help as well.
So you're saying the window might be closing for the lighting industry to get in this?
Well, you know, I mean, if you look at 2013, when I won't mention names here, but certain companies from Silicon Valley entered the sensor industry and brought advanced sensor to us, we have not promoted it or have not integrated or sold it enough to be a major impact. So I don't have numbers, but I would say it'd be in a smaller percentage where IoT advanced controls are being sold on a daily basis. And I think it's because a portion of it is that we're not educating enough in the area. So lighting experts become IoT experts or control experts in the advanced form. And I don't, you know, the industry organizations making the assumption or at least saying, hey, this is going to be part of our future. I think it's kind of an afterthought at this time.
I think, yeah, you know, one of the things that I think about with these, when you have a sensor on a fixture, is that, to Michael's point, all of them have a little different. They try to do something a little different. They have different capabilities. So, like the stuff you're talking about that they can do, is great if you sell them the one that can do that. A lot of times you're selling them one that just is a sensor, like a occupancy or vacancy or daylight. We need one sensor that does it all, and it just goes on everything, is what you're saying, right?
Well, there is a couple controls companies that have tiers format. In other words, you put in a mid-grade and you can upgrade. But what it takes to do that is you would have to have the customer, and it's not the industry by itself. I mean, there is some barriers. For example, you're going to the customer security departments. And one of the barriers is that you have to convince, instead of the facilities guy, you have to talk to the IT and other departments within that customer, because now you're getting into a space that may cause security issues, right? But that's part of the challenge. But other organizations or other industries are doing it already. For example, there is technology right now. You could put an assembly line. In the book, I write about the fact, the one thing that would pay for everything, if we can just get rid of downtime. So it costs millions of dollars to shut down an assembly line. And we could, as lightings are right above it, we could put a sensor on that that reads a sensor on a motor that can tell the temperature and the vibrations. Okay, the temperature is above normal. The vibration's not in harmony. So that means that motor's at end of life. And that signal can go back to the gateway and we can change that motor out when the assembly is not working. And that would save millions of dollars. But we got to put that puzzle together, that solution together, and bring it to our customers and explain that that's the thing. But other companies are doing that and bypassing lighting. And so if they do that, it's not a benefit to the customer because now we have a lighting control system and now we have a equipment control system, if you will. But it's happening.
I'm not worried. I'll tell you why. I'm not worried about other industries because at the end of the day, like if all this stuff goes like Tony and you guys are talking about, which I'm not sure it's going to, because there's a lot of privacy concerns and security concerns that people will have to be overcome. I've always said, like, if you wanted to spy on a company, do a lighting upgrade for them. That's a great way to implant all manner of cameras and microphones and everything else connected to a secret Wi-Fi network that you just listen to everything that's going on in the building. Not that I've ever done that, and I never will, but that's I've seen it, and you could easily do it. But, you know, if we're going to make The Matrix, like, you know, you see the movie The Matrix and the bits are falling down? That's a lighting play, bud. I don't care what anyone says. That has to be in the lights. It has to be a Li-Fi signal. There's no way around it. And so there's no way it can go in HVAC. It can't be a Wi-Fi signal. I mean, they can even do some of the stuff that Tony was talking about with Wi-Fi. They can bounce the Wi-Fi signals off each other and bring back shapes and no occupancy and all that. But those are radio waves. Li-Fi is light speed. So if we're going to create this matrix environment where you just walk in the airport, you don't even need a passport. You just walk to your plane and get on because the Li-Fi already knows who you are by your gait, by your shape of your face and your height, and whatever. Then if we get there, it's going to be a lighting play for sure. There's no other way that you can... I don't think there's any other, like you said, there's no other grid system in buildings that we need. You're just duplicating everything. Plus, Li-Fi is light. So, might as well be in the lights. So, I'm not worried about that. What I am worried, though, is about the dark side. Have you thought about much of this? About some of the surveillance state, deep state, you know, conspiracy theory side of this stuff? Have you thought that through at all, Omar?
Well, I think it's you have a rare technology, whatever it is, a car, when they invented a car, you can hit somebody and hurt them. There's always going to be a dark side, correct? But the urgency is that we're in the middle of the largest macro trend that the world has gone through is digital transformation. And what that means is that everything that we write down in every company, every notebook, every tribal knowledge is going to have to be digitized. And that started in 2013. And lighting is uniquely positioned to be an enabler of that. And so if you Google the most successful digital transformation, it was Microsoft and a couple other companies and their stock went through new. And what they realized is that they had to digitize everything and that everybody's going to have to do the same. So they changed their business from selling subscriptions to selling the cloud, and all this data is going to be available. So we're uniquely positioned. With Tony and I working on, he has a special quantum encryption, which would not allow for the hacking of systems. So quantum is the technology that does random messaging, so it can't be hacked. So there will be a white side, dark side, if you will, fighting to get this, but technology is not going to stop because the upside for data transformation for Microsoft alone was 258% in their stock market going up. So every mom and pop to the largest company in the world is going to have to get that. And the only way they can do it is by getting data and being able to crunch the data and being able to follow trends and be highly competitive versus those who do not. And those who do not will be non-relevant.
Or that won't happen, right? Well, you understand what I'm saying?
Like, well, no, it's happened already.
I often hear people talking about AI and artificial intelligence, And I always come back to them with Newton's third law, you know, which is for every action, there's an equal opposite reaction. So if we're going to talk about artificial intelligence, we have to talk about artificial stupidity, right? They go together. It's going to be equal,
right?
That whatever you, as much as you think you're creating intelligence, you're going to be creating the equal amount of stupidity for sure. There's just, and the recent Google AI thing is a perfect example of that. And these are just going to continue on and become more nuanced and complex. Is it progress? I don't know, Wilmer. I'm excited about it from a lighting industry play, you know?
Yeah.
But again, what's the business model? Until the information is more valuable than the cost of the light fixtures and the installation and the commissioning, I don't think it's going to change. I think the information has to be more valuable first.
Yeah, no, definitely. What's the difference is that, you know, since the invention of the cloud, the data has been collected in the data lakes. Now there is programs.
Did you say data lakes? Data lakes?
Yeah.
Like lake.
They call them data lakes. Yes. Like they're huge data farms. And if you go to Google's data farm, and you get China has 10 million square feet.
Just servers running with information on them. So here's another theory I have. This is interesting. We're going to have to start dealing with digital waste. Like, you know how you have garbage piles? We're going to have to start, like, because all this digital stuff, people think it's using up tons of electricity and generating tons of carbon emissions and e-waste. And it's just half of it, like, you know, take the typical person's Google Drive. It's loaded with stuff they never touch. Pictures, essays, docs they open. And I would say 99% of everything stored in the cloud is completely and totally useless and will never be accessed again. What do you do?
I agree with you. But now there is software and AI will play a big part of it. So the difference, you guys talked with Al the other day on the podcast about AI, but you were talking about large language models, but that's not the AI that will be part of our industry. The AI that we're talking, I'll talk about a security example. Back in the day, if you walked in a convenience store and they got robbed or something, the cops would come and take 8 hours looking at video, you know, you see the movies. Now with AI and security, just pop in, I got a guy with a black hat, blue shirt, vest. He walked in the store, that's Greg, by the way, anyway. He walked in, we can just pop that description in there and AI finds 5 to 10 pictures in the last week in seconds. So that's the AI we're going to be dealing with. And that'll be AI that will be part of control sensors and things like that. As data is collected, the beauty of AI is it's automatically analyzing it and putting it into trend and formats. That's the industrial AI. Talking about GE days, they invented IIoT, was the industrial internet of things. That's what they're playing with. They're playing with, you know, having smart computers on an airplane, finding before the plane even landed, they already had the maintenance schedule because AI already figured out what was needed for maintenance. So those are kind of predictable things AI is really going to pay for. I'll give you an example. We have a colleague that was working with a large freezer company, food company. And, you know, they went in and put these computer systems in and everything. They found out that they're receiving all their food and storing it right in the middle of electrical peak, between 10 and 2 o'clock. So they switched it to the afternoon and saved millions of dollars. And so those small things like that, data that's right in front of us, we don't get to see it as humans. Computers can look and say, okay, there's a trend. You got your peak hours and your deliveries at the same time. Bingo, change that and you save millions of dollars. So those are kind of things that hopefully will pay for the dark side of people hacking, doing things incorrectly and hurting humanity. Will help. I think it's going to help the business bottom line. And people are already benefiting from that. Large companies are already transforming. Hopefully that our industry is part of it, that's all.
So who should read your book?
Well, I think that anybody that even, it's going to impact anybody inside and outside of industry. So what's going to happen is, let me go back a little bit. So the first wave of the internet was establishing, Al Gore created the internet highway. President Bush Sr. signed it. Second wave was social media. You could opt in to go to Facebook, you could opt in to go to Instagram. But the third wave of the internet is now, And you're not going to opt in because it's already getting in your hand. You have a phone that you use for work. We're on the internet right now. So it's going to impact you at work. So learning about the IoT can progress your career. Understanding what digital transformation is going to bring to your business and how you're going to contribute or not contribute to it will make you more relevant or less relevant as an employee. And so the barrier is I removed the technical language, made it plain English. So you can, anybody can read this anywhere. It's a quick read. I have a lot of graphs in there to show you the fourth industrial revolution. I show a lot of pictures. And so it's very easy. So I use it as a manual, make notes on it. So anybody professional, even in the lighting industry, outside lighting industry, young kids going to college. I just talked, I'm mentoring a couple of kids right now. They don't know how to spell IoT. They don't know what it means. And what is that? What is that? Is that an app? No, it's not an app. You know, so it's just that.
It's really a philosophy. It's more of a philosophy of living.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. So you're sort of an, if I may define you,
sure.
You're like an incrementalist. You see this as just another part of the technological advancement of civilization, the march forward. You compared it to cars. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I don't know if this could be like more of a epoch changing. And like you have people like Tony Lawrence who believes that we're the cocoon that is going to become, launch this new thing that is, you know, li-fi, artificial gods, intelligence. You know, instead of Omar being the leader, Omar is going to be saying, I talked to the computer and the computer told me to do this. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so that's kind of creepy to people. I don't think previous rounds of technological innovation, including the internet, Facebook had a little bit of creep to it, especially when Mark Zuckerberg had that thing in the corner. Do you remember how Facebook originally looked when it came out and had that creepy guy standing in the corner?
You guys remember that? Yeah, I remember that.
Go back and say the original Facebook screen. It'll blow your mind. The producer will grab it and put it up on the screen or something if you're watching on YouTube. So it was creepy. This is getting creepier and creepier in some way. If you take that direction, Omar, you can get really creeped out. But I see what you're saying, how it's like technology advances and the good guys and the bad guys fight it out along the way. And that's kind of what you're saying, right? There's no stopping it. And you might as well learn about it by reading my book so you can recognize it in your career and advance and make money off of it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Why not?
Definitely. I mean, it's in our cars now. It's in your hand. So understanding can help you.
You got to get a grip on lighting and a grip on hanging fixtures from the ceiling, buddy. Jack Chain is for losers, Greg Eric. Go to griplocksystems.com, GRIPLOCKSYSTEMS.com.
Only way to hang lights, man. It's labor saving and tool-free adjustability, so you can move that fixture up and down, bounce it, make it look nice. Griplock.
Jack Chain is for losers. Go to NAALD.org if you have light bulbs in a warehouse. That's right. Do you have light bulbs in a warehouse? Do you want to make a difference in the world? You got to join the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Stay in your lane. Change the lighting industry. You know a ton of stuff about lighting because you got tons of light bulbs in a warehouse. You should be a member of NAALD. That's how it works. If you don't have light bulbs in a warehouse, sorry. Can't apply. I guess you could be join our Lighting Controls Integrators Council. Could do that. If you want to do that, cost $50. But to be a true member of NAALD, you have to have light bulbs in a warehouse. Omar, where can people find IoT in non-technical language?
Yeah, I have it at Amazon. I have it at a very reasonable price. You can buy a digital version for $8. And then the book with all the graphics and all the design, everything's about $17.95. So I kept it really reasonable. It's all about giving forward, helping people out. This industry has been very kind to me. Lighting's been very, very good business to be in and be part of the industry for a long time. So this is kind of my pay forward for that.
He's had a good run, Greg. So I love it. He wrote a book. I'm going to write a book one day, just like Omar. I don't know when. 10 years from now or so, I'm going to write a book. I don't know what it's going to be called. It's going to be called Get a Grip. Folks, you know, the most important part of this whole show is you. The listeners, the viewers out there on the internet. We love you guys and gals. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.